For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, a little bold face truth, bold face lie every Tuesday, 11:40. Hoff, what do you have for us?
All right, BT, we'll start with you. If you know Caleb Durbin, he hit his first home run yesterday as a Milwaukee Brewer. Yankees, true or false, bold face lie, bold face truth. Yankees lost the Devin Williams trade.
No, I can't say that. I'm gonna say a bold face lie. It's really impossible to answer it now. Durbin didn't even make the team on opening day, right? That's like I'm not paying attention to them.
He just got called up two days ago.
He got called up, right? So, it didn't impress enough to make the team. Where, listen, Devin Williams has been awful. I mean, he's got an ERA of 9. He's walking the ballpark.
Oh, is it that low? 9?
Yeah, he's getting it down here. Yeah, no, he's tightening things up a little bit. He has been atrocious. I do trust. Now, there's some evidence here that he gets better in Milwaukee when he's putting up historical numbers, where he's slow out of the chute. He gets a few more ticks on the fastball. The changeup becomes more effective. I'm hoping that's the case. So I'm going to say bold-faced lie with an asterisk. There's also something to be said for not being cut out for New York. And I'm not going to say that yet. But if this keeps going for a couple of weeks, I will.
I'm going to say bold-faced lie. I know it was a brutal loss on Saturday, but watching that game, that to me, I said this yesterday, it was more bad luck than anything else. Now, Williams has not earned the benefit of the doubt because he's been bad to start this year, but I don't think that particular outing was necessarily all on him. You know, little bloops, infield hits, bad defense. There was a lot there that led to that blown save. Bald-faced lie, they did not lose that trade. I would make that trade every single time over because the Yankees are going for it. Now, remember, I was also saying, hey, you gave up Clay Holmes or you lost Clay Holmes, you're bringing in Williams. I didn't think that the trade-off was as great as everybody was making it seem with Williams, who on paper was the best in the game. This is what happens with closers. Good news is maybe he's getting it all out of the way now and he can kind of right the ship here. What do you got, Al?
All right, Sal, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Juan Soto will not have a home run at Citi Field till May.
Oh, we're not counting last night? I mean, I thought that I saw that on social media. SNY posted out there, the one that nearly scraped the foul pole. Here's what I'm going to say about Juan Soto, and this is why I'm going to say this about Juan Soto. People are sensitive. People are sensitive. You can't criticize anymore. I've heard a lot from a lot of different people in a lot of different places. Can't criticize anymore. You can praise. Mets pitching is great. Stearns is a genius. Alonso's an MVP. Ben Rice is the future. Goldschmidt's back. You can praise after 20 games. You can't criticize. So here's what I'm going to say about Juan Soto. Juan Soto, as we speak, at 11:46 and counting on this Tuesday morning, he has played 23 games with the Mets. He has hit .244 for his batting average. He has an OPS of .785, and he has 3.5 home runs. That's all I was saying about Juan Soto.
Oh, man. All right, so before May, right? So what remains of April here? I would say that's a bold face. That's a bold face lie. Come on, man. I mean, what are we overthinking here? I know it hasn't been a rosy start. And, you know, but it's he's going to crank. Well, I thought he had one last night, as you said. He's going to crank one soon. I'm just trying to figure out how many games
there's
before.
There's only four games left.
Well, you got the Phillies, and then you've got the Diamondbacks right after the.
No, they're going on the road to Washington.
Yeah, but I think they come home for this. So, yeah, at
yeah,
Washington,
but,
then, they,
oh,
no, then they come home.
But they only have two of those games are in April. So, total of four
you're
more
right.
games
you're
in
right.
April.
Home games.
All right, so 16 at-bats, a couple of walks. I'm going to say, yeah, that's a bald-face truth that he will.
That okay. he will hit
that
a home run.
One.
Okay.
All right, lock it up. Put the bets in, boys.
There you go. I like that. Usually I don't take a pass on these things, BT. I just wanted to do lay the facts
can't
out there.
Can't
boo
anymore,
everybody.
Huh? By the way, did you say yesterday? I'm gonna get that later because it's okay. Pretty interesting. Something about how the younger fans don't boo anymore. And like there's a bigger conversation
yeah,
there.
Let's I wanted that. To, okay, let's
I saw
have
that,
that
on social. I think it's pretty interesting. Okay. Go ahead, Offie. What do you got?
All right, BT.
Yeah.
There's a little hear this one fully out.
I
okay.
Will.
You guys are just talking about the Giants and the draft.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants will draft both Carter and Sanders before they draft neither Carter or Sanders.
I got you. So what's the higher rate of probability that they walk away with both by making a trade or they pass on both there?
Yes.
I mean, I think that there's a really good chance that they get Carter, but I don't think there's any chance that they get they're going to take Sanders. It's a very tricky question the way you worded this, Hoff. Bullface, listen, do I think they'll get both or neither more? I don't know how to answer. I'm confused. Say the question
again.
Well,
okay, because here's the thing is, right? We're talking about Sanders slipping. There's a possibility
but is
that.
I have to agree with BT
ball
here.
Bullface lie yeah. or bullface truth. Giants will have a better chance of drafting both Carter and Sanders rather than draft
right,
okay. neither
okay.
of them.
I'll say I'm going to play the semantics here. They'll have a better chance of. So I'm going to say a bald-faced truth, but I don't necessarily believe that they would do it. Like, meaning, I do believe Sanders falls to a point that's interesting enough where if the Giants wanted to trade out of round two and get into round one to maybe take a swing at Sanders, that they will very more likely have that possibility. But I don't think that they take Sanders.
I'm going to say it's a bald-faced lie. I don't think the Giants have any shot of getting both. I know everybody's starting to dream about that. They're not getting both. I don't even know. I'm not so sure they're getting Carter. I mean, if you and I think that Carter's the best player in the draft, and we're not alone in that,
mm-hmm.
what makes us think that Cleveland or whoever they trade the pick to at number two doesn't think the same thing?
Yeah, but we're also kind of sharing that common thought that Sanders is dropping. So why would we apply that to one thing and not the other? I mean, so like, why wouldn't you and I believe that Sanders is dropping?
Right.
Now, maybe the team's willingness to move up for a quarterback is more than somebody else, but I think he's dropping. I don't think he's going, you know, top five, top. I think if anybody, it's going to be the Saints. Where do you think Sanders actually goes?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm confused as to I'm just missing the point here. As it pertains to Carter, if we think he's the second best player in the draft,
mm-hmm.
right? And the consensus is he's at the very least a top three player in the draft.
Yeah.
With Sanders, who the hell knows? Like, you could say, oh, he's the second best quarterback in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He's third best, whatever, somebody who's gonna take him. I don't think the Giants love Sanders, and I'm not so sure that Carter's going to be there at number three for the Giants.
Yep.
So therefore,
so
I'm going to
say
it's a bold-faced lie. I think it's more likely they get neither
yeah.
than both. Now, the only way that happens is if Carter is not there at three. If Carter is there at three, I fully expect, like everybody else in the world, that the Giants will take him. And if they did do that, they're not getting Sanders. So for me, it's more likely they get neither
mm-hmm.
than it is they get both.
Very trickily worded there, huh?
Yes.
Very,
semantics,
very
of course. All right, let's get back to the phones here. BT and Sal on the Fan. I love the bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Sometimes it can be confusing. Alex is in East Quag talking about those Knicks after game two. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good morning. Can I make a quick point before I get to Tibbs about
yes.
the Knicks? I'll tell you why they're in bigger trouble than people realize. Malik Beasley shot 42% in the season on threes. Tim Hardaway shot 37% during the season on threes. The Knicks, who can't defend the three, lost a game last night in which Beasley and Hardaway were a combined 2-for-17. I don't think that's going to happen again. So keep that in mind when they go back.
Meaning that the Pistons have already won one at the Garden, and some of the stats that have not even really come to fruition yet, based on the probability, will come to fruition, and that's bad for the Knicks.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need, and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25.
$25 a line, plus four free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You could also flip it the other way, though. Here's what I would say, and we'll let you get your next point in, Alex. I feel great about Tim Hardaway shooting the basketball from a Knicks perspective. Keep shooting it. Hardaway, Tobias Harris, Beasley scares me.
Mm.
He's got stones. Mm. That dude, I want him on the Knicks. I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's a playoff basketball player. He's a tough guy.
He's tough.
I'll sign up for Hardaway shooting as many shots. He is not his father.
I see your point on that. But I wouldn't suspect Beasley's going to have that bad a game going back home for game three. Here's my stuff on Tibbs. First of all, Landry Shamet doesn't do a damn thing except score when he's hot. He's a string bean. He doesn't defend. He doesn't rebound. He played 5 minutes last night. Go look at the box score. It's like he's invisible. He didn't take a shot. He didn't get a rebound. He didn't get an assist. 5 minutes. So no plays were called for him for the guys you put in there hoping that he might get into a hot streak, which he can do from outside. No plays were called for him. Secondly, and my last point, if you're going to complain about the officiating like Tibbs did, then you better pound the ball into your all-star 7-footer who's being guarded by a 6-foot-7 guy and have him fouled almost every time. It's on the coach. I know Brunson over-dribbles. He takes too much on himself. The coach is the one who has to say, stop this foolishness. Here's what we're doing. And Tibbs, do it. Thanks.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I've been saying that as well. But, I mean, can you recognize the mismatch? I mean, there's certain things at this level. I mean, at the high school level, you wouldn't have to really verbalize that to your point guard. When there's such a physical mismatch, you just give him the ball. But again, it's a two-way street, and the onus is on Cat. You've got to put your hand up, and you got to put your behind in the post.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen. I don't know how much of that is on Brunson, how much of it's on Cat, how much of it's on Tibbs. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of trying to get it down low to the big guy. I believe all three are somewhat responsible for it, but I also believe the biggest reason is because of the Pistons' defense and toughness. The Knicks there for a stretch, I forget if it was the second quarter, third quarter, where they had nothing going offensively, the Pistons were swarming and making it near impossible for the Knicks to do anything. I don't care if they're on the perimeter, interior, they were getting hit in the face right out of the gate.
Mm.
So maybe that made it more difficult for trying to get Cat down low. Maybe they got away from it, chasing a little bit.
But you think that's going to change moving forward?
I don't know still if that should be the focal point of the Knicks' offense. This team is not necessarily built to. This is not Patrick Ewing, and it is not the 90s. Now, the good thing is that they could, if they felt that the series was going that way, where they were best suited to feed the beast down low, they could survive with that. That's a part of Cat's game. A bigger part of the Knicks' offensive game has been spacing and knocking down threes. That was not there last night. The caller referenced Beasley and Hardaway. Well, what about OG Anunoby, Karl Anthony Towns, and Bridges from downtown? The Knicks aren't built to win if they don't hit some of their threes.
If I look at Karl Anthony Towns, some of the biggest games he's had this year, almost every one is the similar script where he's involved very early, which, you know, if you're going to score 40 points, generally you're going to do some damage in the first quarter anyway, but knocks down a couple of the threes, gets to the free throw line quite a bit. Once he starts knocking down some bombs, now a little pump fake, that one or two dribble that takes up 20 feet basically, and then he just cocks it back and he dunks. The problem is he's not quick enough to get by some of these smaller bigs of the Pistons, and he's also not tough enough to stay on track to go to the rim. They're kind of getting him off of his spot, so I don't really know how it's going to change. I'm not saying he's going to score 10 points every single game. If he's this invisible, he's going to get booed out of town. Don't even waste your time coming back next year if he plays this way and the Knicks get bumped. But I don't think there's going to be some massive switch or some flip that is a switch that is flipped where Karl Anthony Towns starts playing a different game because he hasn't really done that all year.
Greg is in Mayapack. What's up, Greg?
Sal, VT, thanks for taking the call. You guys have me thinking about the Knicks. Listen, guys, let me just touch on the Knicks quick before I get to the Mets. I still think that adding Towns and Bridges, the team is not a better team than when Randall, Hartenstein, and DiVincenzo was on the team. It's a good team on paper, good team, 50 wins, but the dogs are gone. You know what I mean? So we gotta just see how this plays out. But I'm not feeling that great. In any event, I'd like to tip my cap to the Mets fans for supporting Soto and not making the same mistake that we all made, booing Piazza, booing Beltran. This guy's going to be here forever. So the worst thing we can do is put a bad taste in the guy's mouth early. Second thing, this guy's slumping is better than most guys' career year. We're 16-7. We got Sal. I know what you want. I would love for the guy to have 10 home runs and 30 RBIs already, but he's fine. It's all good, Sal. We're going to be all right.
Yeah, no, Greg, it's fine. And thank you for the call. And I'll reiterate, the Mets are in first place playing well. Citi Field's been electric. Juan Soto's played 23 games as a Met. Juan Soto is hitting two. I'm saying this in a positive way. I'm going to try to throw on the pot. Juan Soto is hitting .244, 12 ribbies, .785 OPS, and has 3.5 home runs on the year.
3.5.
Well, I mean, you got to count last night for a little. You know, he ran around the bases.
Yeah, what you can. Yeah, understood. Let me see here.
I'm yay!
You know it's going to change, dude.
I
don't. You were saying that the other day. You know it's going to change.
We had the conversation. But what? We're not allowed to criticize now? I mean,
well, who said, you know,
multiple people.
Get some calls here over at the old the TV network?
Multiple people.
Really? Well, you know what you tell those people? Get back in your hole and do what you do. Because Juan Soto's hitting .244 with 3.5 home runs. If they like it, then that's good for them.
This is my way of saying that.
I understand. He is, all right, I mean, listen, I'm just looking at this. He's 86th. He's tied for 86th with that in average. Not bad.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, listen, a lot of guys behind him.
Where is he in grounding into double play? It's not that I want to bring up such a negative stat.
There. He's tied for 74th in home runs, and he's tied for 53rd in RBIs. Now.
And to me, the two things that would bother me if I, you know, was going that way would be how he started with the Yankees last year, also his career numbers. Not saying that he's, you know, obviously he could have a bad start. It happens to everybody. He didn't have a bad start last year with the Yankees, It's been 20. It's just he'll be fine. We all know that. Nobody's questioning what Juan Soto is going to do long term. But right now, he's hitting .244, an OPS of .785. You're a big OPS guy.
Yeah, I am. OPS, by the way, I'll give you the number on that. I believe he is in the, 67th percentile right
now. Huff, can you look up real quick, and I forget the exact number, how many games Juan Soto has played at Citi Field as a visitor? Because I
used to go bonkers there.
I also know this. How many games did he play? Well, here's the quick math. But forget even total how many games he played as a National, because there were a lot, you know, in the Padres. How many games do you think BT Soto played as a member of the Yankees at Citi Field?
Couple.
Well, at least three, right? We would think. Yep. Hit a couple of home runs. He's played 11 games so far at Citi Field, and he's only had the half home run.
I got to tell you, though, man, it is vibrant out there.
It's great.
Place is popping, man. You know, Cohen talked about the attendance, talked about the energy. Now, good performances, clutch home runs, that adds to the joy and that adds to the juice there. But Mets fans have been, they took the advice of the owner. They're there every night. Looks good.
We talked about this early in the season. Could this be the beginning of what the Yankees have experienced? Obviously, we know the sustained winning has to follow. But right now, I think this is exactly how everybody drew it up.
It's also a great start. It's also, you know, to get there where, on a, you know, with the attendance and the buzz never dissipates. It's a long road. But I don't think you look at it that way. I think you look at this as, you know, the new version of these Mets. And seeds were planted years ago when Cohen bought the team. And now it's another step in the right direction. And listen, when Soto starts hitting, I mean, now you're going to look pretty good.
Listen to this. So, Hoff, you're telling me Soto played 35 games in total as a visitor at Citi Field in his career? That's it, 35?
Yeah, 35 games.
Juan Soto played 35 games as a visitor at Citi Field, and he had how many home runs?
12.
And he's played how many at home now? 11? And yeah. He's got?
A half.
I'm just giving you the numbers. Don't shoot the messenger. That's just the facts.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8-ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.